As our orbit yet again around Eden gives us another spectacular view of the planet and its unforgiving and inhospitable surface, attention turns once again, who wrote this, to one end of the orbital. Not the Jim Brewing end, nor the Mug production end. Also not the end where the people dock. The other end. We've got a lot of ends. The end with the big transmitter and the remains of Studios 1 to 5. May they be missed. The wobbly number 6 on the door moves aside as the door slides open and the presenting crew shamble their way into their seats. Unkempt, but ready. They shuffle their scripts, hot off the press. Their Jura drives are at least partially charged. And the microphone arm spring has been replaced as the producer for this evening's show takes a deep breath and then says,
"Our mics are live." And then I press a button.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to this week's show. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and I'm very happy to say that I'm, yet again, not the button pusher du jour. It's very relaxing.
Take your feet off the desk. That's very uncouth.
Oh, I always put my feet up on the desk when I am pushing the buttons.
That explains the funny smell then, I expect.
If we can move on from people's podiatric positional peccadilloes, I'm pretty positive that we have a plethora of pithy plots to present.
That's easy for you to say.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
Button gets heavy.
Cannons goes missing. No, not that one. The shooty one.
Sol 3. An ongoing calendar argument.
Jazz. Band.
First this evening, and further to a previous article that we're sure no one at the Pilots Federation read, or listened to, or watched, we bring you worrying news about the latest news from Galnet about the latest wellness trends. Wellness is generally broken down into a number of categories. The first is just look after yourself, okay? The kind of wellness we'd like at Hutton, usually followed by, and if you need a hand, just ask us. We approve of this one. Then there's the lycra-wearing, weekend-cycling, vegan diet, Tesla-driving, yes, they still exist in this century, kind, that's a bit judgy and tells you you should cut down on your unsaturated fats all the time, and swears by drinking some disgusting milkshake each morning. And finally, there's the hippie, joystick-smelling, yoga pose-keeping, we believe in crystals kind. Actually, those crystals are quite good now that we've discovered ones on alien planets that actually do have effects on the human body. Though, as Amelia will tell you, most of them are trying to kill you rather than align your chakras. However, Galnet has seen fit to report there's a bit of a fad ongoing. Not just after New Year when everyone signs up for the gym and has a dry January kind of wellness thing. The suspicious kind, where everyone in the galaxy that's not actually a commander of a spaceship, inexplicably even, tries to get healthy. Now, we reported in recent weeks that we were dead suspicious about the motives around the utilization of the radicoida discovered recently, even speaking about the probability that it was being used as a botanical in a special blend of gin. We've put two and two together and come up with the letters O, M and G. Yes, here at Hutton, ever ones to jump on the conspiracy bandwagon, we're concerned that too many people have been licking the radicoida. As of yet, the results, if it is true, are that humanity appears to be getting more weller. However, the last time an outbreak like this happened, it ended up with quarantines, masks, hazmat suits, and zombies. Lots of zombies. So, keep an eye on people near you. Have they been licking the radicoider? If they have, then watch out if they start turning a sort of bluey-grey and glowing after bedtime. And don't say we didn't warn you.
In a move that has left both astrophysicists and health and safety inspectors weeping into their clipboards, the Hutton Truckers have once again proven that if you give a pilot enough scones and mugs of Centauri Mega Gin, they will eventually break the laws of common sense. After escaping from what is legally described as Alvin's secret asylum, and what the truckers call the briefing room, this band of lunatics has completed a 7-month odyssey across the black. Their goal? After bringing you Hutton Orbital in Dabby Major with a full 15,649,660 light second supercruise, a switch to gravity rather than distance, they were looking for a planet so heavy it makes a Panther Clipper Mark II look like a sidewinder. The stats by the numbers and the mugs. The expedition wasn't just a straight jump, it was a logistical fever dream. Fueled by Centauri Mega Gin, a substance known to dissolve both engine sludge and social inhibitions, the truckers carved a path through the galaxy with terrifying efficiency. 7 months of relentless trucking, 181 colonised systems left in their wake. A chain of colonised systems over 2,000 light-years long. A regular dose of supply systems. Multiple minor factions who have reportedly dragged along and are still trying to figure out where they parked. The destination? Firelux LW-W E1-0 Body 5. The target of this madness is a planet that redefines the word unwelcoming, boasting a crushing 9.36 g. This can be landed on with care, but don't try and disembark or you'll be scooping your bones with a spoon. Experts describe the planet as technically landable, but physically inescapable. It's a world where your socks weigh 5 pounds and your ego is the only thing capable of reaching escape velocity. If you do choose to touch down, please ensure your landing gear is made of reinforced neutronium and your life insurance is paid up to the next millennium. The truckers have successfully deployed a stunning and extremely spiky dodecahedron station in orbit. A challenge to the galaxy. The truckers have thrown down the gauntlet, carefully so it doesn't shatter the 9.36 gravity load. If any commander thinks they can find a higher gravity rock to stick a flag in, the truckers wish you luck and a very strong spine. In the meantime, the new station is open for business. Visitors are encouraged to stop by, enjoy the view of the crushing abyss below, and for the love of the void, don't forget to bring a mug.
Reports are coming in from across the galaxy that stocks of cannons have dropped to near zero at the majority of standard outfitting stations. Commanders report that the weapons are not listed at all, rather than being temporarily unavailable, with the pattern repeating across multiple systems and economies. Munitions manufacturers, including Manticore, have confirmed that production continues. Darlan Grip, Senior Director of Ballistic Continuity at Manticore, stated that
output remains within expected tolerances,
and that any perceived shortage is
a downstream distribution matter best addressed by someone else.
And questions have been raised as to whether large-scale procurement may be responsible. The Imperial Navy has declined to comment on the current supply allocations, though procurement records show no unusual spike in capital ship armament refits. Analysts note that if the Empire had requisitioned the galaxy's cannon supply, it would have done so loudly. Attention has also turned to planetary defence networks, with some speculation that cannons are being redirected to surface installations. No evidence has been presented to support this, and most installations continue to favour fixed emplacements and energy-based systems. A more persistent theory involves the outfitting algorithms used by the Pilots' Federation. Stations operating the standard model no longer list cannons, whilst those using alternative systems, including stronghold carriers, engineer bases, and universal outfitters such as Jameson Memorial, retain full availability. Vulcarius, head of Hutton Quiz Infrastructure, denied any involvement, in a written response consisting of several pages of equations and one diagram of a giraffe, and he confirmed that he
does not require additional kinetic delivery mechanisms,
and that any suggestion he had acquired the galaxy's cannon supply
fails basic dimensional analysis.
That, and that he prefers frag cannons anyway for the close encounters. In the absence of cannons, commanders are adapting. Multi-cannons, beam lasers, burst lasers, and railguns remain widely available, though none replicate the handling or impact profile of traditional broadside weaponry. Commander Beryl Thrustbucket, independent ballistics enthusiast, described the situation as
entirely manageable provided one does not require cannons, expect cannons, or think about cannons.
Pilots are advised to source equipment from non-standard facilities or review loadouts accordingly until availability returns. The Kestrel remains in full production.
Reports are emerging of a growing dispute among commanders and analysts regarding the position and behaviour of Sol 3, which does not match where it should be when extrapolated from 2026 astronomical data. Comparisons with long-term ephemeris models indicate that Sol 3 is offset in its orbit, misaligned in axial orientation, and slightly out of phase in its rotation. The discrepancies are small, but consistent, and have prompted a range of explanations, from computational error to deliberate alteration. One line of analysis suggests that no single fault is responsible. Instead, Sol 3 reflects the accumulated effects of planetary scale disturbance during the sequence of conflicts known as World Wars 3 through 7, followed by subsequent recalibration of astronomical reference systems. During these conflicts, large-scale mass redistribution occurred across Sol 3. Ice melt, ocean migration, crustal displacement, and even repeated kinetic impacts altered the planet's moment of inertia and axial balance. These effects, while individually minor, are sufficient in combination to produce long-term divergence in rotation and tilt. Once such divergence exists, any astronomical framework tied to Sol 3 must either correct for it or redefine its baseline. Evidence suggests that recalibration was re-performed against the altered state, rather than restoring the original one. This would preserve internal consistency while breaking alignment with pre-war models. Within this framework, the wider observations begin to align. Inner planetary orbits appear mirrored in their orientation relative to historical expectations. Their motion remains correct, but the orientation of their orbit ellipses is reversed within the current reference frame. Outer bodies with significantly longer orbital periods show far less apparent deviation, as any offset in time or reference frame produces only minimal visible change over short observational windows. Sol 3 itself shows the most pronounced effects. Its axial alignment no longer corresponds with expected stellar references, and its rotation, tilt, and orbital position do not fully agree with one another. suggesting that these elements were standardized at different times or under different assumptions. The galactic date continues from its original baseline, resulting in a timekeeping system that remains stable, but no longer corresponds precisely to the physical state of Sol 3. Opposing views remain. Some commanders maintain that the discrepancies are the result of modelling limitations or errors within the system's construction. Others argue that the observed behaviour is intentional, or at least accepted, given the lack of corrective action, which would be a bit drastic. For now, the working conclusion among analysts is straightforward. Sol 3 does not match 2026 predictions because stuff happened. Someone didn't put the clocks back or forwards regularly over a long time, probably as we were busy attacking ourselves. So it is what it is, and that, for operational purposes, is sufficient.
And finally, I bring the news a little less grand and a little less, or a little more, closer to home. Reports are emerging from federal systems that jazz has formally been prohibited. Following a review of the Office of Cultural Compliance and Acceptance Rhythmic Behaviour, the ruling confirms that jazz does not conform to approved federal standards, specifically 4.4 and 3.4 time. I really should have read this first, and has therefore been classified as structurally non-compliant. A spokesperson for the Federal Department of Harmony stated that irregular timing structures such as 4-2, 4-3-1 are unacceptably freeform, adding that unscheduled deviations, including what musicians refer to as improvisation, provide an unacceptable non-conformality. The use of saxophones has also been restricted, as has riffing on a keyboard. Bebop and Dixieland are right out. Internal documentation describes twiddly bips as unregulated melodic excursions, noting that such behaviour frequently results in musicians appearing to enjoy themselves without giving a hoot what the audience thinks. Manufacturers have confirmed a sharp decline in saxophone sales within federal space, with several models now being reclassified as decorative plumbing. Independent systems have not adopted the ruling. In alliance space, jazz continues to be performed, often on purpose. The Empire has issued no formal ban, though several senators have expressed concern about jazz-related turtleneck fashion trends. One federal citizen, Harold P. Syncopation, junior assistant to the Deputy Undersecretary for Beat Alignment, described the move as
long overdue,
noting that
music should proceed in an orderly fashion, with no surprises and a clear sense of where it is going.
Pilots operating within federal jurisdiction are advised that possession of jazz may result in confiscation, particularly if it contains solos. Enforcement is expected to begin immediately. A review of blues is ongoing.
And thank you for that. Jazz band? Jazz band?
Jazz band?
No, well.
All I could think of during that story was jazz. Nice. Other Fast Show related content.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all I had in my head, the image I had in my head when I was writing it. I didn't have an article for you, so I saw the word jazz band in something I was reading. I went, okay, jazz is banned then. And
smooth.
It was a bad pun with the whole article. Yes, smooth.
Well, the I'm sure that the Federation will only have itself only have itself to blame when the reggae and ska bands take over.
I love ska.
How about a bit of skiffle? Yeah. Well, how about Scatman John Resurrection? Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody, and welcome to the show this week. Thank you very much to Little Grey for taking over the magic button pushing. And I'm sorry we didn't have particularly exciting images this evening. As it says, someone at the crayons, the camera melted, we dropped everything en route to the studio, and oops. Sorry about that. I've been dashing in and out of hospital trips today, so something had to give, and the photos were it. Right. Just to discuss the news very briefly first, the first one. This Galnet news. I'm sure Commander Wotherspoon is probably going to talk about it. But this wellness trend that they're talking about
is like
they describe it as a viral wellness trend. I mean, who would use the word viral for starters?
The internet. Yes. The internet uses it all of the time.
The term has actually gone viral recently.
Yeah, I mean, the same kind of idiot that would mention Pearl Harbor while sat next to the boss of Japan. What kind of idiot would do that? Anyway, I'm not going to go there because it just makes me angry.
An orange one.
Yeah, an orange one. What began as an admiration for celebrities' physical transformation is now evolving to a broader cultural conversation across allied space. Big Bill Ventura, we blame you.
Galnet behind here, they're wellness maxing.
Well, exactly.
They're not using the word maxing yet, but I'm sure it'll take on. It'll go viral soon.
They're maxing. They're not min maxing. They're just maxing. Yes. You think, okay, why is this news here? And okay, so fine, Hutton Orbital. Why is this news here? Because we felt like it. But Galnet is supposed to be a serious news broadcasting organization. So is there a reason why they published it? Well, it's the Radicoider. I swear, absolutely, right now, is definitely... I mean, people are describing clarity, motivation, and resilience, and the fact that it's spread organically. I mean, they've used the word virus, and then they've said the word organically in the same article. I mean, come on. It's Radicoider. You've all been licking the Radicoider.
Is it new onion heads, do we think? New strand of how that might work?
Performance-enhancing onion head, yes.
It's mushrooms. It's glorified mushrooms. It's all it is.
People saying, everybody knows that it's bad for you. There was a wonderful article I dug up from the archives of one of these, on the US subways. They just sort of get a microphone out and speak to a celebrity next to them on the US subway. And what's your take on? And what's his doodah that was doing the one recently about all the gym bros who are knobs? What's his name? He goes to prisons and asks them, he basically lets them talk themselves into, explaining why they're pillocks. What's his name? You know what I mean? The guy with the... Now I've lost you and you've lost me. The guy who does all the interviews with people that really embarrasses them while he just sort of stands there and lets them talk. What's his name? You know him. Oh, come on. Chat's got to...
I don't know who you mean.
Sorry.
He has a TV series when he goes to a prison and interviews murderers, and then he, didn't he do the one with Now Then? What's his name? Yeah, that one. Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, I'm going to stop and look it up because nobody knows who I'm talking about. And then you're all going to go, oh yeah, him.
I think I might know who you mean, but I can't get the word. He did a number of TV series about certain subjects.
There we go. Yeah. Anyway, there was him on a train and they were asking him for a hot take on something. And he said, exercise for exercise's sake is just stupid. And I thought, you know what? He says, if you're building a wall, you get an exercise. If you're going, I don't know, walk the dog, or you're going to work on a farm, whatever else. But human beings doing exercise for exercise's sake is just stupid. People saying, oh, I'm going to go out for a cycle ride now. I say, well, why don't you cycle to work and back again? And he's absolutely right. And so this wellness trend falls into the what? Just go do stuff and be busy and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the idea of driving to work and then having to find half an hour to go to the gym that you're going to drive to, it has defeated me a few times.
Yeah, or go and dig over the garden because it's spring and you need to plant something, or you know what I mean. There's this wellness trend on Galnet would be viewed by scorn with Louis through, and thank you, chat, for filling that one in as well. They use viral, they use the word organically. It definitely, there's something going on here, and we do think it's probably Radicoida, because why else would it be in the news unless it was a CG waiting to happen, isn't it, Flossie? And given that we can't buy anything like gym equipment on the galactic market and deliver it to Station XYZ in the tiddly doodah system, so CG waiting to happen, that one. The other one was obviously the team that shan't be mentioned, and their very, very silly Hutton thing of how many of the 2,000 light years they decided to colonize in a straight line, 181 systems with something built in them, for over 7 months, just to find a planet that had enormous G.
I hadn't quite realised that's where they were aiming for. I thought they were going in a direction.
No, they spent 7 months aiming for a planet with really big G. So they have been heading out to Phylux, LWWE10 Body 5, I think they said.
Isn't that like a wrestling championship?
What, the LWW? I'm just looking it up in Inara at the moment. So the star system Phylux is now an extraction industrial system controlled by the Hutton Orbital Truckers. It is a Class B star, which is, of course, scoopable. The main stations are Dawson Horizons, Papa Costa, Leisure District, Van Mooswinkel. What? Sorry. Yes. Van Mooswinkel Command Outpost. Oh, please tell me they paid for that. Anyway, Van Mooswinkel, Rocklin's Inheritance, Blashk Vision, Bjorn Genetic Centre, and Dirac Research seem to be the stations that exist in there. And the body, number 5, I think they were saying. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't find it now. 6, 6, 7, 5. Is a high metal content world with a gravity of 9.35 G, a radius of 16,871 kilometres. A Vulcarius. What's the radius of the moon? Do you know this approximately?
I can look it up for you.
I was going to say, let me Google that for you.
I was going to say, a radius of 16,000 kilometres seems like really big.
The moon is about 1,600 kilometres, 1,700
kilometres. So it's 10 times the radius.
I mean, Earth is only 6,500 kilometer radius.
Earth is 6,300, 6,400. I know that.
That would explain why it's got big gravity. It's got big mass. The other thing they've neglected to mention as well is that the surface temperature is 868 Kelvin.
Ooh, toasty.
Well, it is a B star. So if it's, let's see, if that's within 300-400 light seconds, then it's going to be.
See, it's 600 light seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be quite toasty. So it's not much further out than Earth from a B star. How is it still a planet, not just a puddle?
Well, I was going to say, and there are planets inside it as well. So Planet 1 and Planet 4A are also nearer to the star. I don't know how they numbered them, but they are. Maybe they're elliptical orbits. But it is a landable planet, and it's got major silicate vapor geysers. I do not recommend stepping foot outside the ship, though your SRV is quite a hardy beast. I think you can drive around in an SRV, though how that works on 9.35G, I'd have to ask an expert.
If you find a particularly steep pebble, you may not be able to get back to your ship.
Yes, or a slight slope. We do need some pictures of it, so if anybody wants to go to Phylux LWWE10 Planet 5 and get us some pictures, that'd be lovely. I'm just reading what it's made of, and it says iron 22.4%. Well, that would also explain things. That's heavy. And a lot of sulfur.
Heavy metal. But...
Yes.
It's a rock planet.
Exactly. I'm doing that hand signal now. Well done, everybody. 9.36. Apparently there is somebody going to try and rain mugs over it with flight assist off.
Well, I can see nothing that's going to go wrong with that at all.
I mean, smashing time.
Well, yeah. I mean, these are actually, you know, projectiles that are going to leave craters from any height, I would imagine. So, please do go and visit. And if anybody does know whether that station name was deliberate or not, then do let us know. But the Van Moosewinkel Command Outpost. It's currently a planetary construction site, actually. So, do go and help build that one. We have a number of fleet carriers in orbit. We've got the FTM Ruby 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 Mark II and your stepmom. I don't know what your stepmom's doing there, but yeah. But well done, everybody. And then on the other articles, yeah, there are reports over on the Galactic Forums that cannons have gone missing from ever. Yeah. Have they actually gone missing, or is it just somebody talking nonsense?
I haven't checked, but I mean, I can understand that if the mega markets still have them, then that's what to do.
Yep.
Are we talking multi cannons or just general cannons?
No, just the cannons. Broadside style.
Yeah, ordinary cannons.
Ordinary cannons, so, completely gone missing. So, I'm not sure anybody uses them, but...
Not much, really, no. So, obviously, multi-cannons are a favourite of lots of commanders. Concord cannons are incredibly good if you've got enough power play to get those. And obviously, if you are in something like a Kestrel Mark II, then fragment cannons are an incredibly good idea because of all your agility.
Yes, you just point your nose at people and keep pointing it at people and go blam, 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 blam. They do make a blam noise, don't they? That's the sort of...
It could be better. They could make more of a blam. It would sound. Although we did notice that there seems to be since a month or so ago, when projectiles hit hull, they seem to make a new impact noise that sounds quite
blam
satisfying.
Clang, blam clang.
Yeah, it's like this clang. Yeah, little clang noises and fragment cannons. Of course, all the little pellets do it, so it's pretty. Wait, good.
You mean like this one?
Ow! Oh, ouch. Flossie, take the pan back off him.
Get that pan.
Yes.
You're welcome.
And then there has been an argument all over the forums about Sol 3. I mean, this is an old argument in that people saying, well, I'm currently standing here and it's nighttime, but it's not nighttime when I look at it from my spaceship. And confusing. But... the frame of reference. I mean, you know, there have been a lot of years since 2026. And
I wonder if they've noticed that the weekday, if you compare present weekdays to weekdays in the translated time, that it shifts by one day.
It's all very confusing, but it is. I mean, it just is, okay? It just is. Just accept it and don't worry about it. The same reason we can't land on the moon, just because, okay? And go and look at it, and you can probably see your house from here, albeit the coastline's changed a bit. You know, Birmingham-on-Sea is now a thing, as far as I can tell. So there's an argument about Sol 3 and somebody complaining about it. So I don't understand the need to complain about it. And, of course, Jazz being banned. Now, see, luckily, while I was bantering like that one, somebody's found some space news as well. Whew!
There was something else that wasn't reported, by the way. So I put I don't know how quickly Gray can get a picture from Studio 6 onto the screen, or I could just put it in the chat, I suppose.
We've got Banter Media, I suppose.
Yeah. Apparently, not that I've checked, because it's almost 50,000 light years away, but the result of the Distant Worlds community goal to build a port.
Just check, we're not stepping on Flossie's toes, are we?
Oh, I have no idea if we are. It's not
Flossie?
Actually a community.
Oh, that's fine then. It wasn't a community goal.
It's not actually a community goal.
The news of it has been released today. Yeah.
Yeah. Rainbow's End, 48,000 light years away, and there is a picture.
I'm My working on it as best I can. Stand by, caller.
You mean the 1978 episode of The Incredible Hulk, or the 1997 episode of Walker, Texas Ranger? Or the 1979 album by Resurrection Band?
Or
the theme park in Auckland.
The other day, it's the pot of gold he's after.
Oh, righty. Me lucky charms.
One way or another, there does appear to be an Ocellus large starport right next to a neutron star.
And how far away is this, did you say?
48,400 light years from Sol.
So Hutton needs to take it over. Is that what you're saying?
I suppose, yeah. If you can colonize out
there. We don't do that to other groups.
Actually, I don't actually know what factions will be present. So in terms of where it is in the galaxy...
expansion?
In terms of where it is in the galaxy, if you imagine the core, as in Sagittarius, to Colonia, but reverse that direction, it's like that. It's literally the opposite side.
Right, and this is in Rufu ZEH D10-0.
Yes.
Right. Now, interestingly, I know they've only just finished it, it already has a population of 132,720 souls.
Yeah, there are people on Distant Worlds 3 that have decided they've had enough and they don't want to come back.
I did a thing! But, and it worked! Yeah, yay!
Exactly. yay, well done. Is it on screen?
It is on screen.
Yeah. But yeah, lots of people did that, and it now means we've got Beagle Point, we've got that one, and there's another one way out there, isn't there, that was made
on the Emperor's really Anchorage.
Yeah, that's the one. So we now have three really far ones in case you get stuck when you're heading out that way. And you've got a number of fleet carriers out there. You've got the DSEV Distant Suns and the DSEV Odysseus and the Pillar of Chister. I don't know. Who's Chister or Chister? Is that a name I should know?
It's the name of the carrier.
Oh, no, it's something Zoroastrian. There we go. Divinity of Wisdom, Knowledge and Insight. There we go. Anyway, well done, everybody, and do feel free to go and visit. It might take you a while to get there because it's a long way away. And it is run by the Deep Space Surveys faction.
I see.
We have 436 star systems, 49 star. Actually, now that we're looking at Inara, by the way, we have a point of order. We did have a complaint come through from one Tyran, who is the current commander in charge of the B-Arc Squadron Fleet Carrier, to say that since we've not had the Apology Officer reading the BGS news, we may have dropped a bit of a clanger.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. What is it this time?
Well, it's this kind of clangor like everybody's so busy colonizing other places that they forgot to check what's happening back at home.
Oh.
Kind of clangor.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, there's a couple of systems that have gone a bit pear-shaped, and I'm just trying to look it up, which are the ones that I was thinking
well,
about.
There was YZO855-0714 last week had someone else there, didn't it?
Yes, which we need to fix. So all commanders to YZO855-0714. And the other one, I believe, is Ross671, which has been ours for a ruddy long time as well. There we go. Taran4295 has popped it up. And he's basically issued a slap to those of us on the radio station to say we've not been pointing out important things. Now, Ross671, we've dropped to 22.5% influence there. And the Hyrox Blue Energy Corporation... bunch of hippies, have taken over the system there. I won't say it's an all-trackers bulletin, but, I mean, we'd quite like Ross671 back, thank you very much, before we have a fight with somebody else in that system. And YZO855-0714, we've had that one since, like, the year dot, and it's a little embarrassing that we haven't got it anymore. Can anybody head over to Ross671 and YZO855, please, and get them back? Thank you very much. That'd be great. We're also looking at our influence. We've got one system, and only one system, that is listed as discontented. We've got 1,412 happy, 8 elated, and 1 discontented system. And I'm trying to find out which one it is.
Do they need cider or beer or gin?
I don't know.
Or tea.
I can't find an index here that tells me which one is the discontented system.
This is the system of our discontent.
Yeah, so anybody in chat who wants to go and find out which one of our systems is discontented, please. That needs fixing as well. So Ross671, YZO855-0714, and whichever one is discontented, thank you very much.
But how do you do that for those new listeners amongst us? How? What do you do? Do you take bounty missions? Do you
Well, I mean, naughty things.
The ones that we've lost, we just need to go and do missions for Hutton. Generally, that's a great way. Or find a station that we still own and sell it loads of data. And be careful it's one that we do own from exploration data. Or hand in loads of Hutton-related bounties to a Hutton-related station. Or just go and take loads of Hutton missions in that location. So I'm just having a look whether what we still own in Ross 671. Hang on a second. Do we still have any other stations? Bob Ross. Oh, why is it not showing me? Oh, it's not showing me Ross 671 now. We need a new view on this somewhere. Okay, it's not showing me Ross 671. Oh, there it is. There's Ross 671. Right. So we've still got Matheson Terminal, which is a surface port, Verrazzano Point, which is a surface port, and Watson Port, which is an Acellus. The Acellus, I think, has been... No, so the High Rocks, Thompson Terminal is the main station, which is a Coriolis. Ignore that one, but go to Watson Port, which is an Acellus, and do stuff to help Hutton there, and that would be marvellous. Thank you.
Very
and Y0855 has only got a diddy little station, you know, one of these orbital things. So don't take anything big there. But once again, go and help Hutton and do missions for us. Please. Thank you. We want it back by next week, okay? You've got a week. Okay.
Is it time for some space news?
Somebody else can drive this one, but yes, I haven't got my glasses on today.
Right, you are. Space news button. When you don't know where to get more space news, 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 space news. Alrighty, I think Lisso's put most of these in because I've neglected it while I was trying to make things not be broken.
You've been injecting seams instead.
Less seams than last week.
Well, you'll get better with practice. You'll get more seams again next week, don't worry.
I'm kind of counting it.
This one, I mean, what it says on the tin, the Artemis rocket is on its way back out to the pad. Because they took it back in, they switched it off and on again, they fixed all the broken bits, a bit more gaffer tape, and then it's on its way back out. Yeah. The current estimated launch date is, how do they normally phrase it, not earlier than 1st of April. That's the start of the launch window they're now going for, so it's only, what, a couple of weeks away.
But they did switch it off and on again, and I think that's the part that counts.
Yes, they did. Couple of times actually now, but yeah, this time they really mean it. April 1st, totally a portentous day to launch anything, I think, isn't it? So
there it is.
Yeah,
sorry, it took me a minute to remember how to poke the website again. There's someone talking about it apparently. Okay, was that all?
Right, so yeah,
that was quick.
Artemis 2 is on its way back out.
Yay!
I had a story that popped up literally on my news feed in Firefox, and oh no, I've got to accept it for Sky. There we go. With a quite badly written headline, I thought, stinky molten planet spotted by astronomers with surface not unlike a vision of hell.
Well, that would be Eden, then. Now, there's a possibly incorrect... Isn't Eden, that we're orbiting at the moment, a stinky planet that looks not unlike hell?
Despite I don't know.
Only because of that incident with Cubicle 3 being flushed in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. I can't read it. My window is too small.
So what is this planet?
This planet is named L98-59D... And it's a nice and catchy name. And it's covered in magma and a noxious, fiercely hot, sulfur-rich atmosphere. Magma.
Is that one of those dolls from the 70s?
But magma. It's pretty big. It's 60 times greater. The diameter is 60 times greater than Earth. And it's
60% greater.
Yeah.
1.6 still, times.
That's quite big, because the Earth is big. And
well, we have to set a challenge to Vulcarius. Is L98859 an actual real star? Or if it is, what's its actual name that we might know it by?
There's a conversion thing somewhere, isn't
there? I'll have a look.
Yeah, so L98-59, is it called something cool? Because it's not that far away, is it? You were just saying.
34 light years? Yes, yeah. 34 light years from Earth in the constellation.
So that's got to have been that star's got to have been in the observed stuff near Sol 3.
I don't know, it's a red dwarf. They're not the easiest things to spot.
NLTT something? Could be an NLTT or a 2-mass.
Right, yeah, so it's L9859, NLTT 19357. It does have a 2-mass as well, but that's probably not in universal
NLTT 375 exists, not 57. So it's not the NLTT recognition. It's not under L98. And what was it? Is it 2-mass? Is it? We have a few 2-masses out there.
When you say 2-mass, what do you mean?
That's the...
The two micron all sky survey.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's not in that one either.
In terms of its mass, it's probably a bit smaller because its density, they reckon, is only 40% of what Earth is.
Yeah, the weird letter strings in front of all of the different stars refer to the stellar catalogue they're part of, which is based on who or what built the catalogue. So, I mean, this one is L9859. That's because it's named after Willem Jacob Leuten, the L, Leuten.
As in Leuten star.
Named the letter stars. Yeah, that's the one. Only this is his 9859th star. But that's right. Possibly a coordinate system if it's hyphenated.
Well, it may be actually a named star now. It may have been given an actual name that we don't know it by. But because the NLTTs are in, but 19357 isn't. So we may have to do some astrophysics to try and find it. It is a red dwarf, and it's about 34.6 light years from Earth. So there we go. There must be a way to find that one out.
The luminosity is about 1% of our current sun. So you're possibly right. It would be quite difficult to see.
Apparent magnitude 11.69. Visible to the naked eye is anything up to maybe 6 if you've got dark skies and good eyes.
So it's
way beyond visibility.
So it's in the Volans constellation. I'm just trying to see what stars might be near it. Not a part of sky I recognise. If we're trying to find from Sol and look in that direction, I'm trying to think what's near. Constellation, the southern sky, is the Flying Fish. There we go. It's in the Flying Fish constellation.
The planet's surface is in excess of 1,500 degrees, or freedom units, and so it would not harbour life as we know it, in stating the obvious, Mr. Nicholas said.
He's probably right there.
You know what? I think he might be. Shall we move on to our third and our final spacey news?
Oh, wow. So The stars in Volans, in case we knew any of the names of them, seem to basically be known as, let's see, where are they? Alpha Volans, Beta Volans, Gamma Volans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a well-known set of stars in Western names.
Oh, why can't I change? Let's move on. Sorry, I'm trying. My button says no. Oh, there we go. And it's going to flick back. And then it's coming. It's just taking its sweet time.
You had it, then you lost.
There you go.
This one, basically. Ooh, look at the pretty pictures.
It is a pretty picture.
Is that a real picture or a picture that somebody drew?
That's a real picture.
Captured by JWST. So it's still probably a false colour image, but I don't care.
Well, it's an infrared telescope, so it's by definition a false colour image. But yeah, it's a pretty false colour image, though. There's a few down as well, but that's the best.
I love the acronym in this article, by the way.
Well, which one? I've clicked it and I can't get it out.
It's the Physics at High Angular Resolution in Nearby Galaxies Survey, also known as FANGS. It's the FANGS survey. Ones. It's a FANGS one, yes. I like to drink your stars.
I've got myself stuck on the image I can't get off.
Somebody unstick him. Flossie, unstick him quick. You grab his coat. No, don't hit him. You grab his coattails and pull hard.
I'll go to the other story, the stinky stars, and see if that makes it go away. There we go. There was an acronym in my news story. I don't know. I couldn't work it out while I was reading it.
Well, I'm going to have to go back to it now and work out. No, there wasn't.
Yeah, there was. There was something.
No,
that could...
there wasn't.
No, I didn't.
I didn't. The Office of Cultural Compliance and Acceptable Rhythmic Behaviour.
CCARB.
Yes. Yeah. No.
I was expecting it to be something rude hidden away that I.
Sometimes I do, but not this week. Not this week.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, there's more.
That one really is. It's...
Having shown it on screen, what's it all about?
It's just a pretty galaxy. It's the ESA picture of the month from JWST is why it's particularly being shown. But,
do you know what it reminds me of? Did you ever watch Disney's Black Hole and that bit they went to afterwards where the sky was all that sort of colour and Maximilian was standing on top of a mountain? Didn't the sky look a bit like the colour of that?
It did a bit, yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of red.
I mean, at the moment, it does look like somebody's Instagram reel or what Google Photos does and collates all the similar photos together. We've collaged your photos for you when you've gone and done a selfie too many times.
But apparently, the inner edge of the arms is pre-stellar. There are a few stars there, and the region is traced by the carbon monoxide emissions. There we go. And outside the main arms, we find intermediate stars like F, G, and K stars, and older red giants and AGB stars. There we go. Lots of information in that article. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, mostly it was for the pretty picture, that one.
Anywho.
Because it's such a pretty picture.
Is.
Anywho, that's all the space news we have this week.
I shall close out the space news. When you don't know where to get more space news, 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 space news.
A really good one that I should have put in.
One this week.
I'll save it for next week.
Very good. Stick it in the script for next week and make a script already.
Yeah, Flossie can ask the important question though, can't you, Flossie?
Do we have a word of the week?
We do have a word of the week, and it is getting less good because I only think of it just before I sit down. The word of the week this week is snollygoster.
And what does that mean?
A shrewd, unprincipled person, especially a politician.
Okay, can you put that in a sentence for me?
Oh, you just watch me. The snollygoster Valkyrius tried to convince me that the 45-minute supercruise to Hutton was somehow worth a markup on his overpriced imperial slaves.
I resemble that remark.
He does it a lot faster than 45 minutes, don't you, Valkyrius?
Well, Well, the pre-SEO thing was actually 52 minutes, but if you recall.
Yeah, but the slaves make the time just fly past.
The what now?
The slaves that you're shipping.
Well, that got dark.
Yeah, I haven't thought of a way to try the Thargoid-assisted Hutton with a SEO ship. I suppose, in theory, the Caspian Explorer could, but the problem is its SEO is too slow.
Now, talking of Imperial slaves, I might have to declare myself temporarily Imperial so I can get some, or I can enslave somebody. Do you mind if I digress for a second?
I have some in my new system.
A what?
The latest station I built has them.
Oh, your latest station has them. Did I hear, Flossie? Now, there's a rumour out in the galaxy, by the way, that you've opened a secret experimental lab.
Well, I think that's more to do with Belwyn Darkstar.
Okay, but is it in a system that you colonised?
No, he's colonised it, and he told me he was doing these things named after me.
Right, okay. So he's been doing things named after you. So do we know what system it is, and what has he called it, is the question.
Oh, I've probably got it somewhere. Hang on.
He definitely was telling us that it was not in Col 285 Sector TBZB15-1 at all. Wasn't he?
Probably is then.
Yeah, he said it was definitely not in that one. So I'm just glancing. He's built an awful lot of things there. Let's have a look what kind of stations we've got. And installations. Where do we find the magic? Installations, there we go. What kind have we got here? They're all owned by the... Oh, it doesn't say which ones are Flossie's yet. So we don't know which one is your scientific site in that system.
No, you put up a couple of pictures in there. Screen
Screenshots. Oh, well, screenshots? Did you say we've got some more pictures to confuse Little Grey with?
Perfect.
Try me. I'm ready now.
You're ready now. Okay. Actually, I'm just trying to read the name off this one. Flossie Bio Horror Research. What? Flossie? It's called the Flossie Bio Horror Research Lab.
Hang That's what he's called it.
The Flossie Bio Horror Research Lab. Yes. Where's the best place to paste that for you? Or Litho, can you grab that one?
Where is it?
It's in the screenshot section of the Hutton Discord. It looks absolutely terrifying, Flossie. What on earth are you doing?
I haven't done anything.
I mean, it's a dark, forbidding entrance sort of archway, and then a great big glowing sign that says Flossie Bio Horror Research Lab over a door. What the blazes? If I put that in chat there we go.
Which chat we had has
somebody,
that
somebody actually has taken Cecil out and is building him a new bar as well. I don't know what it's called yet, but we have had contact from a commander who has suggested he is building Cecil a new bar.
There's another screenshot, Flossie Industrial Shenanigans. That was the first one you built.
Okay.
The first one is in the end of the script, Gray.
I have got it. I think.
Yeah, Flossie's Industrial Shenanigans and Flossie Bio Horror Research Lab. There we go.
Does look particularly grim, doesn't it?
It does.
Right, they're now both in the script if you want to drag them from there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Flossie Industrial Shenanigans is actually run by Hutton Orbital Truckers, but Flossie Bio Horror Research Lab currently is run by
we
the co-op
such
of
things.
Utrimnit. Utrimnit. Yes.
Oh, I don't seem to be able to save that image. Never mind.
Oh, well. We'll have to bring it. I'll tell you what. We'll write it. We'll go and visit it next week. How about that?
Ooh, a live and fly.
Yeah, we could possibly do a live broadcast from Flossie's horror lab.
brilliant idea. I like this plan.
I might have to go there with an alt because Flossie's a long way from.
Oh, he's on DW. Are you at the right bit of DW3 or the wrong bit of DW3? That's the question. Are you 16,000 light years away from them?
Not quite that far away, but I can't quite get to this last place. I can't get to it.
You can't get to it, or you don't want to get to it?
I can't get to it. I don't have the jump range. And if I use my jump on him, I'm scared that I'll get somewhere that won't be able to get back.
You can always make more jumponium.
Well, I think I've got about 8 lots of arsenic left. The rest are all right.
We have to thank Belwyn Darkstar, though. I mean, at least he thought of you.
Yes.
We need to all stand around with those pumpkin head hats on that you can get in the livery store outside the sign. And maybe one of those splatter outfits. You know, the ones that look like you had an accident with the yogurt pot.
Yeah.
There you go. I got the other one.
Oh, there we go.
A bit less grim, that one. I feel.
I mean, the one with the glowing sign just it bodes, doesn't it?
It's the fact that it's just it's got like the smears of its victims
and the
in
stains.
It.
I mean, there's a smear of a hand dragged down over the word lab. You know, it is.
It is exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, zombies. Okay, they're definitely zombies.
I think you'll find they're called biohorrors.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Oh, if only they could inject some bio-horrors. Yeah. Volcarius would be the first one there with a plasma rifle and a pan, probably.
No, Elsie would probably beat him there, you know, for research.
Beat him? Like, bang! Ow! Yes. Okay, ECM news, by the way. Before we go to Flossie's bit.
I do have a quiz ready, you know.
No, we have a quiz. Okay, we'll go for a quiz first. So I'm not going to say like whoa enough now, but Gideon, what did I say? 170 shed loads. People
you said
booked in so far.
You said 171.
171, which technically speaking means there's only 4 spaces left.
Dum dum dum.
So there's 4 spaces plus a small reserved list, but yeah, 4 spaces plus a reserved list. We will take a view. And anyway, the team, Grey and I, have been checking out our Artemis replacement.
Yes.
And it's quite funky.
It's exciting. I'm looking forward to
it.
Playing
is exciting.
With that.
Well, I took down the entire Artemis rig to the AV. Our sponsor is providing all the AV, and fired it up and showed him and went, right, do you want me to build some walls for this that look like spaceship walls? And do you want like, you know, the 4K projector? And I can build desks for these. And oh dear, yeah, he's gone off on building an actual spaceship, I think. lights and swirly things and rotary things and all sorts. He's gone off on one because he's got 5 months to play with and he really wants to build an actual spaceship around it. So you never know. We might be upgrading the Starship Bridges to, wow territory. And also thanks to the developers behind Empty Epsilon because we're talking to them directly and they're making changes specially for us too.
Oh, I didn't know that. How exciting.
Yeah. So that we can make all the stuff happen with lights. Now, the guys from the AV supplier said, God, I wish we could bring the pyros, by the way. Now, yeah. These pyros are the kind of pyros they use at major sporting events, the kind that shoot 20-foot flames vertically. He's also got cold spark machines.
Oh, those are fun.
He's got a bubble one, and he's got a confetti one.
Oh, can we just use bubbles when we're meant to have flames, just because that's what we can use?
As soon as you start taking damage, it pumps bubbles out in front of you, yes. It's like tribbles, but bubbles.
Triples.
Anyway, so that's the news. In terms of hotel rooms, there are 10 club rooms, 10 double doubles, and 3 family rooms left. So there's a little bit of space left at the hotel if anybody needs, but not much. Okay, that was that news. It's quiz time.
Quiz time.
Yet. Quiz time. No. Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Yeah.
Quiz time.
Oh, I pressed a banter button.
It's that interval where I give the intro, and during which Little Grey has to do a quick scurry funge of all the junk on the screen and actually put the quiz up.
Yeah.
So. Welcome to this show's quiz, which everyone's welcome to join over at quiz.iniv.space in a browser window on the side or with a mobile device. This week, it's time to bosh open the bunghole and pour out around as we delve into a deliquescent Dochen Doris and celebrate the galaxy's favourite rare drinks. Everyone listening live is very welcome to open a tab over at quiz.iniv.space, if you see what I did there. Now or at any time during the quiz to join in. And remember, guessing is always better than skipping, rude answers can only be used once, and all vessels are docked at the owner's risk. That means It's not our fault if some tea leaf half-inched your toodle.
And booze does not have 2 B's in it. Thank you very much, dead meat. I'm glad somebody got it.
The irony being the person who can't spell. But there we go.
Right, and the apparently the missing studio is the presenter this time.
Yes. We talked about the thing in the intro, didn't we? How the 1 to 5s, we miss them.
Yeah.
And I think everyone has filed in as well. So let me turn that to live. Update the thing. Oh, one more. There we go. Okay. Round 1 is Distinguished Distilleries. Question 1. Which star system produces Lavian brandy?
Oh, I know this one. It's Sinuf 3417.
I actually found my Lavian brandy bottle the other day.
Nice.
I didn't check if you had the button ready, but in any case.
I don't. But Litho might.
No, apparently I don't either. It's not working. Give me 30 seconds.
It'll be ready for the next question.
Yeah.
Not that button.
And oh.
I'll call that 5, 4, 3. Okay, that's enough time for that one. Next question. Open that one. Question 2. Which star system produces Lestian evil juice?
This is in one of the Elite books.
Just one.
Which system produces Lestian evil juice? I'm pretty sure in the original 1984 version of our cockpits, it was within 1 to 2 jumps of Lave, wasn't it?
Yes.
Here's a hint. It's not Deso. It's not Deso.
You've been clever there. You've made it so you can't copy and paste the words.
Not deliberately, although I suppose you could use Inspect to do it. And question 3. Which star system produces Conga Ale?
Ooh. Aye, 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 Conga.
Like a great idea.
I think it's that one, you know. This is a warm-up round, isn't it?
No. This is the real round. This is the first round.
All right.
No, the best at stake here.
Just checking.
And
be with you in one moment. Yeah.
Have we got it? Has he broken it again? In 10 seconds.
Ah. Needed the other announcer.
Boom!
And we have. The Lavian brandy is produced in Lave.
If this is not 100% all round, I want to have words, you know?
Yes, everyone got it. That's amazing. Well done, guys. And Leasty and Evil Juice is actually produced in Leasty.
Already.
I must admit, I have no idea on this one. I didn't know Leasty was a place.
Leasty, definitely a place.
Never been.
Yep, definitely. Yep. There's even an engineer there. And Conga Ale is produced in the Conga system. So a bit tricky, but I think everyone managed to get that as well.
Yay!
Woo!
We'll win!
Great booze up, Edmund.
Yeah. Round two is...
Even Cecil could take part in this one.
It's somnificating spirits.
Question one.
Yes, it means sleep inducing. What type of rare drink is produced in the Epsilon Indy system? So you don't, not the full name as such, just the type of the drink.
I thought it was a biscuit.
So it's a digestive then.
Garibaldi.
Oh, you've given me a clue in, and I know the answer because of what you said.
Malted milk. It's malted milk. That's a drink.
Oreo is the Oreo.
The chocolate coated malted milk. Nom nom nom.
That bun.
Come on then. Oh, boom.
Question two. What type of rare drink is produced in the Harmer system? Yeah. There may be a few billboards for this one if you've been running around on ports on the concourse.
I mean, it's not quite fair asking me to identify all of these, is it? Given that I've tried them all.
When you say you tried them all...
Yes. We designed cocktail. When we did the Cecil voice pack for HCS voice packs, he designed a complete book of cocktails, which used all the alcohols available in the Elite Galaxy. And most of them, if you ask Cecil to pour you a drink when he's in the cockpit of your ship, he will actually give you one of the cocktails. We did actually try them all. Yes. I can't remember whether I used that one in a port light or a starboard light drink. I think it was a port light drink used Silver Sea rum.
Detonation in 10 seconds. I thought I'd better push the button quickly, given he's just given out the answer.
What? Did I? Oops, sorry.
Yeah, you kind of did.
Oh no, I was really enthusiastically enthusing about the drinks.
And what type of rare drink is produced in the Alpha Centauri system?
That's the one that was blue. And there was a story about that, and an ECM up in Glasgow, wasn't there, Flossie?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Well,
it went in blue and it came out green. It's not supposed to be green.
It's probably not supposed to be blue either.
But yes, the bottle of this was blue, and the people who tried it excessively, it all came out very green.
And we have... The Epsilon Indy system produces bourbon, or specifically Indy bourbon.
Biscuits!
Which everyone got.
Garibaldi!
No, is it bourbon biscuits or bourbon biscuits? Just saying.
Oh, the biscuits are bourbon, but the bourbon's bourbon.
Even though it's spelt the same.
Yeah, and?
Yay, English.
The Harmer system produces rum, and indeed it is Harmer Silver Sea rum.
I had a thing about it being pirates in that system, so it was like, pirates like rum, don't they?
Sold over at Gabriel Enterprise. It's very, very nice.
It is indeed Archon Delane territory, that's true. And the Alpha Centauri system actually produces gin. That's novel.
Who knew?
It's actually...
My answer was accepted. Oh, sorry, it was accepted, yes. Yeah, okay, yes. That's fine. I got rolled into somebody else, did I?
I did pick CMG, and I thought, well, that's probably Centauri Mega Gin. So.
Only you know the real drinkers know it as CMG.
And round three.
I thought the real drinkers knew it as, oh God, not that stuff.
Round three is non-alcoholic drinks, or, well, alcohol optional,
boo,
I should say.
Boo.
Insofar as you can still add it.
Mixers!
Question one. What colour is the rare milk produced in the Leastie system? That was indeed the same as the system earlier. It actually produces two drinks.
And there are only a couple of places in the galaxy where there are two rares. Are they not?
I don't know. In truth, probably. Although the galaxy is big enough, I'm sure there's more.
Well, Alpha Centauri has the CMG, which we've already mentioned, and the mug, obviously. And this place has two rares.
And?
Yes. One of them's evil, and the other one's in Star Wars.
And the other one's milky.
Yep. Boom!
Question two. How many rare teas and coffees are in the galaxy?
I'm going to add them up on my fingers now.
Oh, no.
No,
this one's going to be a guess.
This one is a bit of a guess, yeah. Although, you are allowed a slight hint. Is that the...
That one.
And that's the... those plurals there are indeed both plurals. There are indeed more than one tea and more than one coffee.
Do we count that one, though? Because that's a meal. Or not?
I don't know.
Can we think of less than I think there must be?
Well, it depends whether you count that one as no, because it's a meal. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going with that one. Yeah, okay.
I'm just gonna guess.
That's what I did.
Detonation in 10 seconds. And finally, what is your favorite drink?
Not that you'll be able to see my capitals, but I definitely shouted it.
I think the previous question, there's going to be a steward's inquiry on that one.
Who's Stuart?
Detonation in 10 seconds. Steve's twin brother.
Not very much time.
Yeah, but. You know,
if people don't know this one, then they need to hurry up and decide, because otherwise they slow things down at the bar.
Well, one of those answers, I'm not really sure what it is, so I'll have to look it up in a sec.
<That's> a great response.
Is this the steward's inquiry question?
Unsure. In the meantime, it's azure, which is a blue colour. So azure or blue was correct. It's azure milk. We had, there are nine. I was going to accept eight because I presume you were thinking of Ethgree's tea buds.
Well, no, I was thinking of the Meshukos high tea. Now, it's high tea is obviously, in my parlance, a meal. But as I remember, it's something consumed with a meal in the lore, which is confusing.
I just kind of, it's called tea. I presumed it was tea.
The high tea generally is a meal, not a tea, but the description is ambiguous as to whether it's consumed with a meal. Yes.
Yeah. It says rare teas as opposed to rare drinks, I suppose.
Yes.
So yeah, there was ceremonial Heike tea, Ethgree's tea buds, Fujin tea, Mekius high tea, Tanmark Tranquil tea. And as for coffees, there's Eninar coffee, CD75 kitten brand coffee, Goman Yaupen coffee, and Void extract coffee.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
There are five.
That is the good stuff.
Yeah, there are five teas and four coffees. This is where that. Let me go to question three. So this is where I'm not sure. I have no idea what Talisker actually is.
It's a whiskey.
It's a whiskey.
Very nice whiskey. I can't believe you neglected that answer. That's what Cecil's answer was, that one.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks correct at the bottom.
Yes. What's your favourite drink? Yes, please.
Already?
Have a point for yes.
I get half a point.
I'm not sure Banana Brad is a beer. Also,
well,
for
all I know, there's someone with the nickname there's a guy called Brad with the nickname Banana who makes beer.
I think Banana Brad might have to turn up as one of the commentators next week in the script.
You might be a little bit the worse for beer, though.
I must admit, I should have also chosen coffee because, in truth, that is what I drink the most of.
Doesn't make it your favourite. I spend most of my waking time at work, but it's definitely not my favourite.
I suspect he meant, or whoever it was, meant bread, not Brad. But anyway,
Spice confirmed in chat. It was bread.
It was well bred.
Although he has the best of excuses though.
Yes,
he
the doggo
dog
is
sleeping on his arm.
Yeah, doggo is asleep. And not being quite the co-pilot as usually expected. So.
Oh, I'm just on the... all right, okay.
Let me go to the scoreboard as that's the last question we have. Taran in first place with 26 points. Did Amelia's postman stand? I guess so. Well, somehow Amelia's postman managed to get second place. That's better than Amelia usually does. So well done, postman.
Yes, but coming second when you're being chased by a feral kitten generally means you're about to be disemboweled.
I thought it was worried because of what's been delivered. I wasn't sure.
And we have a four-way tie for third place. So well done to Jinx Crane, Flossie, Mayo Horror, and Azrafael. And well done,
Flossie's bio horror, yes. Hang on a second. Azrafael, bio horror, and Flossie. There's a theme here, isn't there?
A little bit.
I mean, it's a bit early for Halloween, but. Okay, well, thank you very much. Yay for the drinks quiz. I just wish I had some. I suppose we ought to. And now. Oh. You rotter. Okay, and on that note, I suppose it is time to go over to Commander Flossie with news of this week's CG News. Take it away.
I'm not in the right button for that.
It's worth the effort, trust me. Such a good one this week.
Hang on. Is it?
It's Flossie, and the community goes.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's City News. Well, I'm afraid there aren't any this week. That's it for this week's CG News.
Boo!
Flossie told you what to do.
That was quicker than the intro was.
Yeah.
It's a good thing it wasn't the long intro.
Big long one.
Yeah.
Especially as I now need to go AFK. I'll be right back.
You are.
But what we do have tonight...
Oh, yes. I am ready for this
one.
Hopefully this time we won't be able to hear it back.
No, but echo.
It is too. Also, it is very short. So, short and sweet, here is Galnet News.
Oh, like grey.
Digest. Like my hair. Oh.
Galnet News Update, 19th of March, 3312. A brand new deep space starport has been commissioned, using materials gathered by the Distant Worlds 3 Deep Space Infrastructure Project Initiative back in January. Rainbow's End, an ocellus, is 48,000 light-years from Sol at waypoint 8 on the Distant Worlds 3 expedition route, in the ROFU ZE-H-D10-0 system, beside Pretty White Dwarf and Class M stars, and orbiting an unusually picturesque and rugged landable planet. There are as yet very few services enabled, with no contacts, missions, virtually no ships or modules in stock, and with biowaste, its main export. Universal Cartographics and Vista Genomics are both available, as is the Bartender and Pioneer Supplies. Neither Apex Interstellar nor Frontline Solutions appear to be doing much trade, with no destinations for taxis and only one faction in the system. Because there are no contacts, you can't pay off fines or bounties. If you commit a parking offence and get blown up by the station lasers, you will be transported all the way back to the Grim Pioneer prison ship, around 27,000 light-years away near Sagittarius A star. Distant Worlds 3 is pausing near this new starport for a week, possibly in the hope that the admin contact will report for work to allow everyone's bounties to be paid off.
Thank you very much, Commander Wotherspoon. Now it's come towards the end of the show. We don't have an Amelia this week. I think she's been eaten by a giant carnivorous plant or something this week. I don't know what's going on, but I hope the plant gets indigestion and gives us our Amelia back sometime soon. We are going to be back next week with more shenanigans. As always, if you have stories to send to us, if you have tales of derring do out in the void, then do email us on itookpart@huttonorbital.com. That is an email address. Or ping us a message over on Discord. There is actually a correspondence channel for anybody who feels like doing a little bit of writing. If not, we're just going to carry on making it up like we have done for the last 13 years or so. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Just to be clear, we don't only take tales of derring do. We also happily accept tales of derring don't.
And derring really shouldn't have even thought about doing it in the first place, yes. You know, if anybody does want to pen an article and send it across, we can either use it verbatim or we can just completely bastardize it and turn it into something you didn't know it could have been. This is the part of the show where we go and raid somebody. Now, I'm just looking through the list of other people who need a bit of a raid. I can see somebody called Pigsy. I'm just having a quick glance over at Pigsy. Yeah, Pigsy. Who is an electronic musician from Dublin, Ireland. who runs a record label. Check the link below. I don't stream. If I do, it'll be elite. Oh, I can actually see they are streaming live right now. So we are going to go and raid Pigsy in a second. I have the controls on that one. For I'm sure. not going to mess it yep. up now. Are you going to be doing the long, the slow, the fast, the super fast, or which version of the outro are you doing this week? Just so I know.
I don't know. Shall we find out together?
Okay. And the credits this week. You've got to have your glasses on to read these. It's important you read them and try the cookies recipe.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
There's one more thing to do. For the mug.
For the mug.
Cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. We're gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We'll take anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading out the T-9s to the brim with grain. For the mug, yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug, now everybody sing the Hutton Trucker song. Seems to crash into the sun. Swivel likes the pilot on the Xbox One. Alvin at the front, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell. For the mug, for the mug. Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug. Now everybody sing the Hutton Trucker song. Today, super cruising all across the Milky Way. We'll take anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud like you don't even care. For the mug, yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug, now everybody sing the Hutton Trucker song.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.